are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Well, what a great day to be here, and it's cooler than it's been all summer, so you have no excuse, so you can stay a little bit longer, right? So good to have you with us. Well, Lord, we thank you for the word of the Lord and the power of your word and the ability it has to change lives. We pray, Lord God, for your anointing upon me as your servant. Lord, we ask that this word would just permeate the spirit, transform the heart, and strengthen the inner person. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're starting a new sermon series called Living the Spirit-Led, the Spirit-Filled Life. And so we're going to be doing that for the next several weeks. And today I want to talk to you from Ephesians chapter 3. I want you to go there with me. And we're going to be talking about immersion. I want to talk to you about immersing ourselves in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And it reads this: "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Isn't that a great scripture? Shout if you think that's a great scripture. I think it's a great scripture. You know, we need to consider what John the Baptist stated when he actually said in Mark chapter 1, verse 8, "I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you," what? "With the Holy Spirit." We all need to be immersed. We need to be soaked. We need to be plunged, baptized completely in Christ's Spirit of holy, unconditional, grace-filled love. Amen? That's what we need, a good dose of that. We need to be totally drenched and saturated in Jesus Christ. God will pour out his Spirit dramatically in special holy moments and specific places. If you go back over your life and your spiritual journey with the Lord, whether you began yesterday or whether you've walked with the Lord for 40-something years, there are moments in your life that are altar-building moments where you can discern and detect and note that you met God in that place, on that occasion, in that moment, and something transformed in you that totally transformed your life. God always is creating those moments. There was this uncle, his name was Uncle Jack, and he was an atheist. And he was stopping his little nephew, Bobby, as he was on his way to Sunday school. He was mocking him, and he said, "I'll give you a dollar if you can tell me where God is." And little Bobby had a quick response, and he said, "Uncle Jack, I'll give you $10 if you can tell me where he ain't." Nobody ever found a place where God ain't yet. Amen? Nobody has not found a place where God ain't yet. A special outpouring of God's divine presence, it changes everything. That's why it's so important to have those times of worship, those times where we just saturate ourselves in the Word of God, those times where we just wait in the presence of God and we spend time allowing His Holy Spirit to minister to those deep places in our hearts, in our minds, and in our souls, and in our spirits. His divine presence changes everything. We can't manufacture this spiritual outpouring. It has to happen on God's doing, but we have to be ready. We have to be willing, and we have to be positioned in a humble place, just as Paul is here. He has humbled himself before the Lord. We know that to be true because it says, I bow my knees. Now, we have to understand, in his culture, they didn't bow when they prayed. They stood and they walked when they prayed. So we know that he is humbling himself before the Lord so that he can be immersed in the presence and in the glory of God. And this morning I want to talk to you about how we've been invited to immerse ourselves in the glorious riches of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that excites me. You're sitting there, I can't see if you're smiling, so, okay, don't take your mask off, but I hope you are. But that is a wonderful invitation that Paul offers us this morning. He's saying, I'm inviting all of you, Ephesians, to be immersed in the glorious riches of Jesus Christ. If you want to lead a spirit-filled life, if you want to live a spirit-led life, then it's the most essential thing in your walk for you to actually be immersed in the glorious riches of Jesus Christ. And we see here that Paul mentions actually quite a few of them, but I'm only going to focus on three of them this morning. And first of all, he encourages, he exhorts, he challenges, he invites the Ephesians to immerse themselves in the mighty power of God. In the mighty power of God. We see in verses 14 to 16 that he says, may he strengthen you with power. And he's not just talking about human power. He's talking about supernatural power. And this is a power with authority. It's got a divine force because it's related to the Holy Spirit. That divine force is not just a divine force. It will redefine any force that's in your life or trying to affect your life that's not of God. Amen? So that supernatural force of God has the ability to remove, shut down, redirect any other force that tries to consume, redirect, or take over the purposes of God in your life. The Holy Spirit works in believers' lives, bringing clarification, conviction, and regeneration of the mind, the heart, the soul, and the spirit, bringing spiritual strength to our inner beings. And he longs for us to experience this daily renewal. He's hoping that when we experience this daily renewal, that we'll begin to walk in those areas of the old nature. We'll actually leave those areas of the old nature and we'll begin to walk in victory in the new nature. And some of us are like, well, that's an old message. Well, look at your previous week and see where the old nature crept up on you again. It happens all the time. You can be born again as long as you can think you've been born again, and your old nature is consistently battling against the Spirit of the living God and against the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and either you will give in to the Holy Spirit or you'll give in to your old nature. And that battle is consistently going on, and it's been going on for centuries, and that's why we need the Word of God. That's why we need the power of God. That's why we need the Spirit of God, because it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that our minds, our hearts, our souls, our spirits, and our bodies can be transformed, what? From glory to glory. Amen? Come on, folks, wake up. Thank you, Steve. You're over there. You're listening. Good. Winston Churchill's first speech to the House of Commons 3 days after becoming Prime Minister at the beginning of World War II, I love this speech. You've heard it before. And this speech really displays a type of resilience. And when you hear his heart, It reminds us of the resilience we require through the power, the supernatural power of God's Spirit. I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and suffering. You ask, what is our policy? I can say, it is to wage war. Sometimes we need to stand up, Christians, and we say, it's time to wage war. It's time to walk in the victory that God has promised me. Amen? To wage war by sea, land, and air, with all our might and with all the strength that God can give us. To wage war against a monstrous tyranny, never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalog of human crime. This is our policy. You ask, what is our aim? I can answer in one word, he said. It is victory. Victory at all cost. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory, how long and hard the road may be, for without victory there is no survival. Let that be realized. No survival for the British Empire. No survival for all that the British Empire has stood for. We stand in victory. What a great speech. We stand in victory today. The Holy Spirit's power is an extraordinary divine force by which Christ was raised from the dead. And because Christ lives on the inside, it's that same authority, that same incredible, extraordinary, supernatural power of God that dwells on the inside of our inner being. It has to be victory at all costs. Without Christ's victory, there is no survival. Without the cross in your life, there has been no survival. Amen? It is not by might nor by power, but it is by the Spirit of the living God. Don't think for a moment because your life is so comfortable and your life is so productive and your life has been victorious and you have climbed the mountains and overcome them that you've done it in your own strength. You've only done it because the Spirit of Christ dwells within you. Amen? That's part of the glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Think about an area in your life where the enemy constantly assaults you. Everyone has one thorn in their side, I'm sure. What is that one area where he consistently is assaulting you? And then think about the resurrection power of Christ. And this week, when that temptation comes your way, when that area comes in your life and you're facing it, you say, I have victory in the name of Jesus. I have victory in the power of the Holy Spirit. I have the resurrection power that dwells in me. I'm going to stand on that today and I'm going to claim my victory. Oh, he may try to kick you around a bit, but you stand your ground and you watch what will happen to the enemy. Amen? Amen. We're invited today to immerse ourselves in the glorious riches of Jesus Christ, and the first being the mighty power of God. We see in verses 17 to 19 that the second area that he's calling them to immerse themselves in, one of the glorious riches, as he says, is the outpouring of the love of Christ. Seems so simple, but he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And Paul is talking here of the indwelling love of Christ at that moment. That Christ would move from being, he's saying, I want him to move from just being an acquaintance. And I want you to make him a permanent dweller within your life. You're saying, well, I've accepted Christ. You can accept Christ, but you can kick him out very easily by your continual rebellion, by your continual resistance, when the Spirit is moving and you're like, that's enough, I'm not doing that. That's not how I respond to God. When you respond that way, I wonder what his response will be to you. But he's saying here, with the love of Christ, I want him to indwell you, and I want him to be more than just an acquaintance. I want him to be your Lord. I want him to be your Savior. I want him to be the master of your life, the leader of your life, because through his love, you can't exhaust all the possibilities of Christ's love when he's dwelling within you. He says, I want you to be rooted and grounded in love. And he's saying the Holy Spirit comes and he builds in you, once you get saved, a new foundation. Your foundation once was built on the things of the world, and now that foundation, I've destroyed that old foundation. I've actually taken the bricks out of that foundation. I tore down and I'm rebuilding a new foundation. And each day that you live, I'm putting something new in that foundation to shore you up, to make you strong, so that when the enemy comes, you will realize he is what? He is a deceiver. He is an accuser of the brethren. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But you take your stand in the victory you've been given, in the power that dwells within you, in the love that you've experienced that's transformed your heart, and you say, no, I'm standing in the person I'm created to become. Amen? Amen. That's what Paul is saying. The love of Christ creates in you the person you're to become. You're not there yet, folks, so don't settle today and say, it's already done. Look at me. Oh, no, it's not. Because look at me. And I've been at this for some time. And every day I look in the mirror and I go, I've got a little bit more to do, Lord. You've got to do a little bit more in this guy. Amen? And it's through the love of Christ that I realize I can be transformed. God desires that we be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ so that we can stand against the windstorms of temptation, so that we can bear fruit in the times of testing. We can bear fruit in the times of trial. We can bear fruit when we're being tempted. You see, a lot of us shut down when there's tests, trials, and temptations. But what he's saying to the Ephesians here is when you bask, when you build up that foundation, you're grounded, you're rooted, even in the midst of the storm, you're bearing godly fruit, spiritual fruit in your life. Put up your hand if you need more spiritual fruit in your life this morning. Some of you need to put up two and both your feet. Amen? Thank you for doing that. Good for you. You almost fell over. You know, we have this beautiful book at home on the hymns of Jesus Christ, and the reason the hymns were actually written. And few hymns paint such a vivid picture of God's love as the one written by Samuel Trevor Francis, "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus." And this song was actually written on because one day he was on his way home from work. And he had to cross the Hungerford Bridge to the south of the Thames River. And during the winter's night of wind and rain, and in the loneliness of that walk, he cried out to God, and he asked God to have mercy upon his life. And he stayed for a moment to look at the dark waters flowing under the bridge. Listen to this. And as he's looking at the waters under the bridge, the temptation was whispered to him, make an end of all this misery. Make an end of all this misery. He drew back from that evil thought, and suddenly a message was born into his very soul. You believe God. You believe in Jesus Christ. And he answered immediately, I do. And that moment, he put his whole trust in Jesus as Savior. And from that experience, he wrote these beautiful words. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me, underneath me, all around me, in the current of thy love. Are those words not beautiful? This morning, if you're not experiencing the love of Jesus Christ, I want you to confidently understand that it is a love that you cannot comprehend. It is a love that you cannot put any measurement to. It is a love that is underneath you, all around you, and its current has consumed your very life. I love this type of love of Jesus, Because when the temptations come and whisper to me that I'm a failure, Christ's love delivers me. When he says that I'm fearful of being the person that God has designed me to be, God reminds me that his perfect love casts out all that fear. Yes, will I fail the Lord? Will I move in fear at times? Will I not accomplish the things that God perhaps has even purposed for my life? Yes, but nothing will take the love of Christ away from me. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Amen? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You see, I have these two sponges here, right here. And this is a new sponge. This is like a new believer, okay? And this is an old sponge. It's dry and it's crusty and it's hard. And this is kind of like a believer that's kind of been saved but not pressing into God. Really, is they know the love of God. They've experienced the love of God. But this has been just, you know, it's just too demanding to be a Christian. There's just too many requests and requirements, and I just can't do it. So I'm going to stay this tough, old, unusable sponge. But this one, you put it in, and it doesn't take too long to be filled with the love of Christ. Amen? Whereas this one, you have to keep soaking it. And when it gets touched, it's that same love. You see, you can't change the love. You can't change the love. You can be as hard and crusty as you want, but you can't change the love of God. Amen? I want you to think about the temptations that the enemy whispers to your heart, whispers to your old nature, and remind yourself that nothing will separate you from the precious love of Christ. Now, what did he have to do? What did Samuel have to do? He had to push that thought away, it says. He pushed that thought away. And then he took on the conviction, do you love Jesus Christ? I'm encouraging you, when the enemy comes with his temptation, I want you to take your stand and push that thought away and take a hold of that conviction and say, yes, I do believe in Jesus Christ. Can you say that with me this morning? Yes, I do believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for his amazing love. Paul was inviting the Ephesian church to immerse themselves in the glorious riches of Jesus Christ. And he was really challenging them in verses 20 to 21 to immerse yourselves in the spiritual blessing of Christ. And he says in verse 20 to 21, he says this. Ready? Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter because my page blew over. Here we are. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably. What's he able to do? Can you measure that? No. Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. According to what? His power. His power that is at work within us. To him be glory to the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations. I love to all generations. No matter if you're Evelina's age, no matter, I won't choose the eldest here, but there are many who've walked with the Lord a long, long time, to the eldest in the congregation and anything in between. He says, I'm moving in a new way amongst every generation. Every generation can plug in to these glorious riches of God's outpoured power, of God's love. And now he's saying he has spiritual blessing beyond measure for all of us. And I love how Paul really encouraged the Ephesian church to to move in that power and in that love. And now he's saying, and that does not exempt you from the spiritual blessings. God constantly is doing exceedingly abundantly above anything you and I can currently imagine. And some of you have some wild imaginations. I have talked to you, and you have validated that assessment many times. God personally grants you victory because he's able to do immeasurably more than you can ask. There was this little boy who came to the Washington Monument, and he noticed a guard standing by it. And he said to the guard, he said, "I want to buy it." "And how much do you have?" the guard said. He said, "I have 35 cents. Well, he said, "You need to understand three things. First of all, 35 cents is not enough to purchase this monument. In fact, $35 million isn't enough. Second, the Washington Monument is not for sale. And third, if you're a U.S. citizen, you already own it. We need to understand three things. All the money in the world is not enough to purchase the spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. The spiritual blessings, what? Are not for sale. They're not for sale. And if we are in Jesus Christ, we already have every spiritual blessing. Amen? So how can we experience this immeasurably more? I want to give you four keys. I want you to write these down. Four keys. These are taken from the book Filled Up and Poured Out by Pastor Mark Wilson. And he mentions four keys that can help you unlock God's immeasurably more in your life. You know what? I'm not satisfied. I want the glorious riches of Christ in my life. I want to experience the spiritual blessings in my life. He says the first key is this: relinquish. Relinquish your need to control. Relinquish your right to control. Surrender. Release your demand on how things should be. Let go and let God. Amen? The next one he says, the second key, expectation. I love this. Based on Pastor Greta's sermon last week, I thought, this is a great point about holy life. He says, live with holy expectation. Dallas Willard said this in his book: you will never be more holy than you intend to be. Let me say that again about living with holy expectation. Dallas Willard said this: you will never be more holy than you intend to be. The third key was this in his book, Filled Up and Poured Out: consecration. He said, the only way to live a spirit-led life is to lay it all down on the altar. All means what? What? All. All your longings, all your belongings, all your desires, and all your dreams. All your relationships, all your communications, and all your entertainments. All your past, all your present, and all your future. Lay them all down at the foot of the cross. All. Relinquish, expect, consecrate, and obey. Those are four keys that allow you to experience immeasurably more than all you could think or imagine. I'm notorious for misplacing my wallet. Where is it today? Oh, here it is. Okay. I am notorious for misplacing my wallet. There have been many times where I've had to drive to stores. I have to go back to places to look for my wallet. And I usually, how I do it is I have to stop, think, and recollect, where was I the last time? And it usually is in that place. And the same thing is when you are not immeasurably experiencing more in your life, you need to, and you've lost your joy in Christ, and you feel that there's no spiritual blessing in your life, you need to go back to the last place you had it, the last place you experienced it. You need to go back and trace your steps. Go back to that place. Remember in the beginning I said that there are always moments and there are always places where God's presence shows up in your life, those altar building moments. So you go back to those altar building moments, those places where God's presence came and touched your life. Go back to that. Where did you veer off course? What's happening? What was happening then that's not happening now? And what are you doing or thinking now that you weren't doing or thinking then? You want to experience immeasurably more than you could ask or think, and you want to experience the spiritual blessings of Jesus Christ, and you want to experience and be immersed in those spiritual blessings. You've got to go back to the place, the last place where God had an encounter with you, and ask Him to move you on from that place. Ask God to point out where you've detoured from His will. He'll show you so you can tap into the spiritual, what? The spiritual blessings of Jesus Christ. Because today we're being invited to immerse ourselves in the glorious riches of Christ. We're being invited to immerse ourselves in the amazing, almighty power of God, in the outpouring of the love of Christ, and to experience the immeasurably more spiritual blessings that are found through the riches and glory in Christ. Will you let Jesus Christ fill you with His Holy Spirit? Ask Him to pour His love into your weary and dry soul. Admit that you are in that place and desperate for more of God. And humble yourself before the Lord and relinquish and expect and consecrate and walk in a new level of obedience, and you will experience afresh how to live the Spirit-led life. Amen? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord, we come to You today in this glorious day that You've kept the rain back. You wanted us to be here. You needed us to be together to worship and celebrate. You wanted us to send the Smith family off with a blessing. You wanted us to celebrate life together. And You wanted us to be personally touched by Your Holy Spirit. And where you are today, if you're one of those persons and you want to make a commitment today to be immersed in the power and the love and spiritual blessings of the Lord, I want you to make that covenant by making a stand right now before the Lord. Stand in the presence of God if you want to experience the outpouring of the glorious riches of Christ in your life. Right now, just stand. And if you can't stand, put out your hands like this. Maybe you can't stand. Put your hands out and just say, Lord, right now, say, I'm committing myself. Just pray with me. I'm committing myself to immerse my life in the glorious riches of the almighty power of God, in the love of Jesus Christ, and in the immeasurable spiritual blessings of Christ. Today, I'm opening my heart to be filled afresh with the Spirit of the living God. As John said, He will baptize you in the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, baptize us afresh in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We want to live and lead Spirit-led lives. We pray You will help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Let's glorify His amazing name. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And enjoy the glorious riches of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take care.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.